You're listening to the What is a Woman podcast, hosted by the Catholic Family Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the What is a Woman podcast. My name is Holly, and as always, I'm joined here by my mother, Mandy. We're happy to be back for another episode this week, and we'll begin by saying, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. So we are now in the second week of Advent, and so hopefully everybody's having a very blessed Advent and preparing their hearts
for the coming of Christ. I'm still unplugged.
My mom's still unplugged.
I'm not as seriously unplugged as I would have been if it was Lent.
Yeah.
But I am, every once in a while, if I have to send somebody a message or something, I'll go quick, do it. Mm-hmm. And if I do, and this is kind of crazy, because if I do that, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, because when you go to your phone or whatever, like you'll get notification. I don't know, maybe other people don't get this, but I get like news notification updates for some reason. Like there'll be a bunch of notifications.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what is Harry and Meghan doing now?
Are they still relevant?
Apparently to me they are, because my phone thinks I want to look at it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you don't need to know this.
Yeah.
Move on. And I really do think that it's helping. I listened to a sermon, and I'm trying to remember, but I'm pretty sure it was from Bishop McGuire, about having no room for Jesus, right?
Right.
Like, you know,
there's no room in the inn.
There's no room in the inn, and that we have to make room for Jesus, you know, in our own life and in our own soul. And it's a little bit more than just, you know, doing an Advent wreath or doing, you know, the Jesse tree or prepare or going to Mass or all praying and all these things. I think that, this is proving truthful to me. I'm getting rid of the unnecessary by unplugging, you know, and I'm making room inside myself.
Right.
For Jesus. Like, I don't need to know useless information about Harry and Meghan or whatever the heck else pops up in my news feed.
Right.
Like I do think that we swamp our mind.
Well, we ingest so much junk.
We're just like, you know, we're just like
frivolous,
sucking in all the waste, all the mindless knowledge of uselessness.
Right. Right.
And it's taking up space in our head. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest thing for me about unplugging. It was like, too much stuff is taking up space in my head.
Well, and even if I can interject here for a minute, like for myself, I had a period of my life when I look back and I think about things, there was a period of my life where I call it just going through the motions.
Yeah.
You go to church on Sunday because you know you have to, but I was really just going through the motions, doing the bare minimum of being a Catholic, right?
And can I just stop? Because I've been listening. I know you want to finish your thought, but I just want to say this, because I was listening to the, on audio, the Interior Castle.
Yeah.
When you do that, and she talks about the soul, St. Teresa talks about the soul.
Yeah.
People that are doing that, I mean, she talks about you just entering like the vestibule and you're full of snipers and snakes and vermin and all that stuff is with you. Like, it's really disturbing what she says, right? And I'm just like, whoa, I don't want to be that.
Yeah. Well, and even like what I'm saying, like, you know, you feel like you're just on robot mode or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then at some point I decided, I don't know. I can't really pinpoint it into what really. I mean, I'm sure if I sat back and thought about it, I'm sure something happened where eventually I decided I needed to take my faith seriously, and it had to become number one. But when I look back at it, when I was going through the motions and just going to church on Sunday and doing the bare minimum, when I think about it, when I was in Mass, I was thinking about everything else going on in my life.
Yeah.
I wasn't actually praying Mass.
No.
And then that just clicked with me when you said, because we're ingesting, we're letting all this junk in and all this frivolous stuff. There is no room for God.
There's no room.
And even when you're doing the things that are for God that you're supposed to do, like going to Mass and da-da-da, you're still thinking about all the other junk that you've let in.
Right, that's St. Teresa.
So there is no room.
You're in the vestibule with all the snakes. And she literally says that. She says that you've let in all the snakes and the
vipers.
And even the next step is still full of snakes and vermin. And like, even once you get past that, like, if you want to listen to it on audio or buy the book.
Yeah, where do we find this?
Well, it's on YouTube.
You're listening. I don't know that I can really listen to.
Well,
books
the one thing that I dislike myself about it, I'm going to tell you, listening to it on audio, I don't like the voice of the person who's talking, because she puts, I don't know, a haughtiness to the voice. Like, okay. St. Teresa's talking with this haughtiness, and I'm just like, I don't think St. Teresa would, you know, influx her voice like that the way you're doing that, yeah. You know?
Well, and for me, it's that I can't, like, when I'm reading a book, say there's a sentence or even a paragraph that you can't write quite wrap your head around.
Yeah.
I like to read it over a few times, and I feel like if I'm listening to a book, I can't really do that.
Well, I mean, when I say listen to a book, I do this thing where I like to listen to things and hope that it reaches into the subconscious.
Somewhere, yeah.
Because I'm not, like, sometimes it's just to go to bed to, and
well,
I turn
yeah,
it off.
That's true.
So
too.
I'm not actually listening to it, and I should actually pull the book out and read it. And I'm only listening to little bits here and there. And it's funny, but the snakes and vipers in the vestibule
stuck with you.
Oh, it really stuck with me. And then it got to this point where, like, all these chambers of the soul of the castle, and I was like, how do I get that? Like, you know, like, it really makes you think, I need to get that.
So what
union with God.
Was it like you said it's called the interior castle?
Yeah.
So what, like, you're down in the dungeon and then you're working your way up to the tower or something?
No, she said, like, our father's house has many mansions.
Yeah.
So does the soul.
Oh, okay.
Right, so you're in different, it's the growth of the soul. So the soul is in different periods.
Okay.
And what it kind of travels through. And, you know, and I'm kind of listening to it. And, I mean, haven't listened to it fully. I can't get past the vestibule, apparently.
But, snakes.
But, you know, it makes you just think of, where exactly is your soul? Like, right. Where are you in this relationship with God?
Right.
Are you hanging out in the vestibule?
Yeah.
You know, with the snakes?
Yeah.
And when you go into the next chamber, you're still letting the snakes in, it says.
Yeah.
Like in the, so it's very, very interesting if you, even if you, like I said, even if you turn it on and just, you know,
you're doing the dishes or whatever, and you might,
you know,
pick a
and I
up.
Don't actually listen to it, but every once in a while, like, my head will perk up, and I'm like, "What did she just say?"
Well, and I think that goes back to what you're letting in your mind,
right?
You could be, you know, listening to music,
well, see,
unsavory music, or you could be listening to that while you do the dishes and letting
exactly.
in good things.
So I like to hope that something seeps in. It's not actually that I'm listening to the book.
Right. Well, that's why I like I have an Advent playlist now, and I have, you know, I like listening to that around the house, because I know some people like quiet, but when I'm at home working or whatever and the kids are at school, I like a little bit of noise.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear, like, silence.
Uh-huh.
I know it's good sometimes for reflection and stuff like that, but I like to have a little bit of noise, so I have my Advent playlist on, because I figure if I'm going to fill my head with something while I'm working, it better be something good, you know? So, yeah, so that's just something to think about when we're filling our minds throughout
right.
the day.
What are we filling it with? Are mm-hmm. we making room and for Christmas? And speaking of Christmas,
yeah,
lots of things. So enjoyed Lisa Davis's quick take on the saint, Saint Nicholas. So
yeah,
enjoyed
I
that.
Haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but
yeah, well,
I heard it was really good.
I used to see the memes all the time of Saint Nicholas punching Arius.
Well, ever since you told me that, I've started seeing them,
and I hated that. I hated it, and I was so happy to hear. Like, I was like, yes, because I never believed it. I never believed that a saint.
Well, so that
would be called a saint,
and punch somebody
and
like
punch
that?
Somebody like they would have control over their anger. I never believed it.
Yeah.
And so now that I know that there is no legit proof to that, yeah. I don't know where that...
So somewhere along the line, somebody just drew this art. Somebody drew this art of him punching... Well,
somebody said that... I don't know where it came from. Do we know where anything comes from? This is why we have to pay attention to the absolutes.
No, I mean, but what I'm saying, though, is that means somebody actually drew that. Because the picture that I saw, it's actually him...
Oh, there's many.
Like, I'm like...
They do all kinds of them. They do all... And people love it. Like, they love to think that they can go around bashing heretics in the head. And, you know, and they do a lot of it on Facebook, too. Like, you're a heretic. Everybody's calling everybody a heretic. And then I can just punch you out because St. Nicholas punched out Arius. You know, like, and that gives me the right to punch you out.
I don't get it, personally. I don't. That's the one part. And, I mean, I'm going to try to say this humbly, but I don't personally like confrontation, mm-hmm. and I hate violence.
Yeah.
And I've never been the type of person that's like, yeah, fuck, you know, oh, no, somebody getting their just desserts, you know?
No, so, I get, and in fact,
it actually puts me on edge.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I believe our first thought should charity first, you know? Yeah. Charity covereth the multitude of sins. And it's like, you know, so when I see somebody depicting a saint in art, like when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is what my mom was talking about. And I saw it and it actually made me visibly upset.
Yeah.
It did. The picture made me upset.
Right.
Like, and this is how we're depicting a saint?
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't get it.
I mean, if you want to put it into perspective, I mean, if anybody had a right to punch anybody out,
Jesus, it would have been our Lord.
Jesus should have punched out Caiaphas.
Yeah.
And he did.
You know, no, so, he turned the other cheek.
Well, he didn't. No, it's not that he turned the other cheek. He accepted the persecution.
Well, yes.
Right. I mean, I guess that's turning the other
cheek. That's what I mean. Not like, you're
accepting the persecution. But I mean,
they sat there in that their little. I'm drawing a blank on the word for it. When they summoned him to the temple, they brought him into the temple, and they summoned all the Pharisees in the middle of the night. Uh-huh. What's the word for that?
Had a meeting? I don't know.
Anyways, well, when they had that, we'll call it a meeting for lack of a better word. I thought there was a specific word for it. But anyways, and they just spit on our Lord. They punched him. They, like, his persecution, his physical persecution started long before he was brought before Pilate.
Yeah.
You know, read The Day Christ Died, I love that book.
Yeah.
You know, they smote his face. They were so cruel to him.
Yeah.
You know, so when you look at that and you think of Jesus just taking blow after blow after blow.
Right. And I mean, and that doesn't mean you accept what heretics say.
No.
And you do everything to combat that as being wrong.
But there's a thing called retaliation.
Yes.
And that's where... this right to retaliation.
Yeah.
Physical, you know, it shouldn't be there.
Right.
It should not be. I don't believe a saint would do that.
In the Imitation of Christ.
No.
If you read the Imitation of the Christ, you will find that nowhere.
Right.
And since we are called to imitate Christ.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean you don't stand up for what's right. I mean, yeah. That's what all the martyrs did. They stood up for his right, so they lost their head.
Yeah.
Goodbye head. You know, like, you know, all the whether...
Goodbye head, hello sainthood.
Hello sainthood, you know. I stood up for right, but I didn't, you know, those who live by the sword shall die by the sword.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the whole, I mean, and punching out Arius is really living by the sword.
Yes. Yeah, so...
You know, so... Please, if you see that meme, dislike.
You know, I'm not a fan. I saw it and I was not a fan.
And also, too, it is a good sign for us to understand that you can't believe everything.
Yeah.
Just because somebody turned it into a meme doesn't make it true.
Right.
You know, and you have to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
about what you're accepting as your guidelines for how you're going to live your life.
And you know what's funny? You know what when I saw that I had heard you talk about it first because you were telling Sister about Lisa Davis' podcast about St. Nicholas, and then you were talking about this meme, and I was like, oh, I never saw this. Then I went in on Facebook, and then I saw it right away. Popped up. My microphone on my cell phone must have been on. But anyways, you know what it actually reminded me of? And when I look at saint pictures and they fill me with, you know, you've seen the saints and this beautiful holy light and all their beautiful pictures. But then when I saw that, you know what it reminded me of? You know, there's that meme with Batman and Robin.
I know. It's
and Batman's punching out Robin.
Yeah.
Or slapping him across the face or something. And then there's the big pow or whatever.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's exactly what
it's like. They turned St. Nicholas into a cheap, disgusting comic to me.
Right.
That's what I felt. Like, I was like, this looks like a stupid comic book or something.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is not the way that I want to see saints depicted, personally. Right. Like, I'm just like, this is not, there's nothing holy, there's nothing sanctifying about it.
Right. No, nothing.
You know, so.
Anyway, and speaking of cheap imitations of things.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay.
Right? The blow-up minions with the Santa hats. I have to drive by three of them every time on the way here.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I really hate this cheap imitation of
commercialization
Christmas.
Commercialization of the...
That the world has going on, right?
Right.
And I was in the thrift store and I was looking for something yesterday. And so I was cruising the Christmas aisle, you know, looking for what, I mean, sometimes you find nice stuff. In two thrift stores, I didn't find a single religious thing.
In the thrift stores?
In the thrift store,
normally
yeah.
You can find lots because people are getting rid of them.
Yeah, I know. It was just all nonsense. I was like, this is all nonsense to me. You know, it's all, and I really dislike it. And it really has cheapened Christmas.
I'll do you one better than the giant blow-up minion. What? We were driving around the other day and somebody had I think the character's name, and I've never seen the movie, but I've just heard it, is Oogie Boogie, I think, or something.
Never heard of it.
The giant ghost guy from The Nightmare Before, one of those Tim Burton movies. I can't remember. I don't know because I've never seen them, but I know because I'm in the crafting world and the cricket world and people recreate things all the time. And this guy is called Oogie Boogie. Anyways, it's a big ghosty goblin looking thing.
For Christmas, with
a Santa hat on.
See, this is where
so if you put a Santa hat on something,
we put a Santa hat on and it makes it Christmas.
It was a giant blow up on somebody's lawn, and I remember looking at. I was driving around with my husband, and I said, "Wow, doesn't that just get you all warm and cozy inside?"
Or I like the dinosaurs with the Santa, and then the Santa hats, and I'm just like, "So we've come to a stage where our Christmas decorations is just."
Anything, just basically
as long
anything
as we
with
throw
the Santa
a Santa hat,
hat
on it, it makes it Christmas.
Yeah.
Or the movies. You know how they have the debate about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not a Christmas
it's
movie.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Just because it happened at Christmas time.
It takes
time,
place at Christmas time.
It takes place at Christmas time. Home Alone is not a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas time.
But it's literally a story about a boy being left at home.
Yeah. You know, they're not Christmas movies. And this is what we have done. We have cheapened everything about Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. That's why when the people go out and you see the reels where people are trying to get back the Christmas feeling and they can't get it. So they're going to vintage ornaments to bring it back.
I'll tell you why they can't get it, because my mom's going to laugh when I say this. All their Christmas ornaments are brown.
Yeah. They are.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that out there because it's really agitating me this year that because I, you know, for my job, I have to write home decor articles.
Uh-huh.
So I have to keep abreast of everything that's trendy this year for Christmas. And the trend this year for Christmas, I'm not kidding you, is dark velvet brown.
Yeah, ooh.
So all the Christmas trees this year and the home designers and the home decor, they're just brown, brown, brown. And I came to my mom's a while ago and I was telling her about this. I said, yeah, because there's nothing more Christmassy than brown. Like, give me a break.
But, well, it kind of sums up the way everybody...
But everything is so plain and just...
And if it's not plain, it's trashy. And if
yeah.
it's not...
So we have the high-end decor people who everything is brown and plain and minimalist. And then you have the dinosaur blow-ups and the minion blow-ups. Like, yeah. Where are our mangers? Where are our, you know, giant mangers on the lawn?
Well, we...
Or the stars, the Christmas star, the Star of Bethlehem, you know, any of that.
My son and I drive by this we drive through this subdivision a couple of times a week to go someplace that we're going. And there's two houses there. And every time we drive by them, I'm like, that's just disgusting. I said, that is just what way is too much.
Oh, too many blow-up
characters. Oh, it's just a little tiny yards with just so much blow-up. Yeah. And then we were driving down the road, and there was a house out in the country, and it was lit from top to bottom. And I said, oh, that's so beautiful. He goes, that's not too much? And I said, no, it's just lights.
It's just lights. If it's just lights.
You know, it's lights on the garage, lights along the fence. It was lights in the yard.
Is that the house with the orbs?
Yes.
Yes, I love that house.
Yes, I said, no, I said the lights. I said the lights. I said, all this cartoon character stuff, that's garbage.
Yeah.
But the lights, especially right now, it's the darkest time of the year, at least where we live. This is the very darkest time of the year. Yeah. And so I said, it's just like Jesus. The lights to me are like...
Just like,
The light in the darkness.
Yeah.
It's so soothing and so calm.
Yeah.
You know, it's not minions with hats on it, right? So I just love the Christmas lights. I do.
Yeah.
You know, but everything has to relate back to Christ, you know? And then you find out what Christmas is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, they're empty shells.
Yeah.
You know, they're slapping Santa hats on anything. So, do yourself a favor. If you have an ornament in your house, like, what's that guy, the green guy? Yoda.
Yoda?
Yoda with a Santa hat on? Just throw it out. Your bit. Say, okay, goodbye.
Right. Well, because the minions, as my mom pointed out to me many years ago about the minions.
Yeah.
The devil and his minions.
The devil and his minions. Right?
Like, so, why would you want a minion in your house, you know?
You want angels.
You want angels.
You don't want minions, you want angels.
You want angels and mangers. Yeah,
it's like, it's just how twisted we are.
Yeah, it's sad, but, I mean, it's our duty as Catholics to bring it back, keep Christ in the world, and we just do that bit by, you know, making sure we do our, we have the mangers on our lawns and the...
Yeah. And I'm trying, you know, I've had a lot of years, and we have a lot of Santa hats around. We have a lot of things with Santa hats on them, and we have a lot of
But bring snowmen. It back to St. Nicholas, then.
Yeah. But that's a bishop hat.
No, but I mean, like, you know, you see the... I know that St. Nicholas didn't wear a Santa hat. But I'm talking about, like, with my kids, you know. Well, I'll tell you, okay? So every December 5th, We put out our boots. I don't know if anybody listening does this tradition. If you haven't heard of it before, you can start it with your kids next year. On the eve of the Feast of St. Nicholas, you have the kids put their boots out. And then when they wake up, there's a little treat or something in their boot. And St. Nicholas comes and fills the boot. So this year, you know, I did a little holy card with St. Nicholas. And you cut into it and you put a candy cane where his...
Mitre?
No, the mitre's the hat.
Oh,
the
mitre's the hat. Scepter?
It's not called a scepter.
I know what you
mean. You know, I can't think of the name. The bishop's staff. Yeah.
Is it a crozier?
I think so. Anyway, so you put the candy cane in so it looks like that's his bishop's thing, right? So we did that this year. And then I will admit, I did do Santa Claus with my kids for a while, but they don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. And, the next day, I went into the kitchen and there was a folded note on the microwave and it said to Saint Nick. And I opened it up and it was from my son and it said, "Dear Saint Nick, thank you so much for the lovely holy card and bringing me some wonderful treats. I'm very happy," or something, "and please pray for me," or something it said. I can't remember exactly how he ended. And he said, "Love, Douglas." And then I put it back, and then he comes down and he said, "Mom, I got to figure out a way to get this note to St. Nicholas." I said, "Doug, this is the beautiful thing about the saints. All we have to do is pray to them and they hear us."
Yeah.
You just put it in your prayer and send a prayer. I said, "St. Nicholas knows this note is here. He knows. He already knows." I said, "But remember to put it in your prayers." Yeah. You know, and I thought about that and I thought, you know, we don't need the magical letters and the, you know, the magical elves and this, because we have the truth and we have prayer. And my kids know that at any minute they can drop down to their knees and pray to any saint or our Lord or Mary or anybody, the angels, and they know their prayer is heard.
They don't have to get a letter to
the North Pole. They don't have to get a letter to the North Pole, you know?
Some magic key and some magic this and some magic
that. And I thought, you know how? And I thought, you know, so it was just so beautiful to me that he wanted to thank St. Nicholas, but he was so taken by the, because, you know, he used to believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but he was so taken by that, I guess. I don't know that he wanted to write this letter. I still think the letter was so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, no. And I said to him, "Doug, I said, no, just pray. You just got to pray."
Yeah.
You know? And then he was like, "Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah." You know? So it was very sweet. But anyways, so I thought that was special. That's the way to keep Christ in Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, by doing our own little Catholic traditions.
I saw people actually cut out little miters, little bishop hats.
Yeah.
And glue them onto the Santas.
Oh, like over and top
then,
of the...
And then, you know, take pipe cleaner, a gold pipe cleaner. And make a little...
Oh, see, I should have done that because I got them a chocolate Santa. I should have cut out a little miter and put it on top of the chocolate Santa. I'll have to remember that for next year.
Right, right. Say, yeah, that's nice, but he's really a bishop.
Yep. Here's his miter. Anyways, well, shall we get in? Do you have anything else you want to say about Christmas?
No, we're just getting ready.
Yeah.
Winding down, getting to the final countdown here, so we might as well get into the imagination,
right? And because, you know, as my mom and I were just talking, we don't have a very big fourth week of Advent this year.
No.
Since the fourth Sunday of Advent is actually on Christmas Eve, which makes things a little different this year.
I know, but we were also talking, it's going to mess up this Jesse tree. We were thinking,
so if anybody, that's a good point, if anybody is following along the Jesse tree, I think we messed it up. I think because the first year we did it, we must have had a longer Advent. Advent must have started earlier.
Yeah.
Because my cousin had put on the booklet that it starts on the first Sunday of Advent, but I'm going to have ornaments left over because, like, it's not going to fall in time with Christmas because the first Sunday of Advent this year was on December 3rd.
Right.
So we're I think it's supposed to start on December 1st.
And that way it's consistent.
And that's why it's consistent. So you may see, if you're following along on Instagram, you may see somewhere along the way, I might just throw 2 days at once, you know, and put it up. Yeah, you might have to. You know? But I'm really glad. I've got a lot of great comments, a lot of people messaging about how great they love it.
Yeah.
The Advent tree. And if anybody's watching and they're like, "What is wrong with Holly's voice?" I speed up the voices because you can only, a reel has to be a minute 30, I think.
Yeah.
And some of the book pages, some of them are very long. Like, what was the really long one? I think The Burning Bush was really long. So I had to like speed up my voice so that I could fit it all in. So just bear with the chipmunk voice, and it's more important that it all gets in. So
yeah.
Anyways, and I think my son reads them sometimes, and when his voice is sped up, at least it's cute. Mine, I don't think so. But whatever. I'm just glad everybody's enjoying it. So
okay, so let's get back to the imagination. Lots of great stuff in this.
All right, so should we just start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is the chapter 17 from Mission and Duties of Young Women, The Imagination. So, quote, "The passions also being deeply rooted in the physical organization of man, their influence must be felt more directly and more violently in the imagination, which is in close alliance with the senses and with the sensible world. For this reason, we are much inclined to consider as beautiful and to love what flatters our inclinations, favors our passions or charms, or our senses," end quote.
Right. Okay. So this kind of answers our question from last week. All right. So we are made up of passions. Mm-hmm. So it's our passions that drives us. Mm-hmm. And it's because of our passions that our passions is what leads our inclinations. So we are inclined to believe what is beautiful based on our passions. So you know how we said beauty is in the eye of the beholder is not right.
Yeah.
Beauty is actually defined by God. We just don't actually know what that definition is.
Right.
And the reason we don't know what that definition is, and the reason that we say beauty is in the eye of the beholder and everybody sees something different as beautiful, is because everybody's passions are different.
Right.
Their inclinations are different, right?
Well, you could imagine anything, really, but if you're not passionate about it,
right,
that thought or that inclination is going to go nowhere.
Right.
Because it doesn't have the passion to fuel it.
Right. So, I mean, but when we talk about the passions, right, the passions is what directs people. It's what motivates them to everything they do.
Right.
Right. So usually the passions are not a good thing. Right? There are vices.
Unless you're passionate for God.
Unless you're passionate for God, right? So it's our vices that drive us, and it's our vices that cloud everything, because and they can be as simple as, having to have things in a certain way, right? So if you have to have a certain, we'll just take a little something really as stupid as the toilet paper. You know, like people have to have that it.
Argument over or under.
Yes, over or under, right? Yeah. So, but like, like myself, I've never paid attention to anything.
I've never paid attention to
that. But I don't care, right? I don't care. So, but maybe somebody does care.
Right.
So then all they think about, and I know this sounds weird, but like, so they go in there and they see that that's not the right way. And then they, they're driven by, is all the paper in the right way?
Right.
Right. And that's just a very, very minor thing.
I'll use myself as an example, since I don't mind. I just moved into a house, not a new house, new to me house, and I'm supposed to be hosting Christmas this year, and my mom comes in today, and it still looks like a bomb went off in here. But I feel like, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, okay?
Yeah.
When I'm hosting something, I want my house to be a certain way.
Right.
I want everything to be done and everything to be ready. Now, it's not going to be that way. And I know that because I'm running out of time here. I'm still painting walls. I'm still doing this. And my mom says, well, I got to bring all the Christmas dishes over and we'll just put them here on. Like, she goes, why don't you take these two cupboards and put them here and then we can put the Christmas dishes. And as she's saying that in my head, I'm going, but that's not going to match what I've got going on here. and I'm like, okay, but it doesn't, like, that's your vanity.
Yes, and that's
your passion talking. Because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that we have somewhere to put the Christmas dishes. That's what matters, because we're going to have over 40 people in this house. Right.
So, this is how you have to understand that you're being driven by these things. So you have to find out what they are.
Right.
The easiest always thing to look at is a person with an addiction, mm-hmm. right? So a person who has an addiction, all they think about is how they're going to get that addiction fulfilled.
Yeah.
So everything is clouded when you have an addiction. But that's like kind of the highest form.
Yeah.
And then there's the lowest forms of, having to have this, or I need...
Having to have the toilet paper.
I need things to look this way, or I need things to be this way, or,
yeah.
It's whatever kind of, I'm going to use the word possesses you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That is what is clouding your visions.
Yeah.
That is what is fueling your imagination. So let's read on here.
Want to add to that, because, it's funny that, when you think of the world and its pleasures, and we've talked about that before, that's what, when I really stop and think about it, that's what fuels my passion for wanting to have everything just so. You know, I watched a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies in my day, and when they host Christmas and they have the house beautifully decorated and everything looks like a Christmas card.
Yeah.
I still can't really detach myself that everything has to be perfect. And that's, you know, that's what's filled my imagination, is this perfect Christmas where the family comes over and everything's just so.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's what has done that, is being sucked into this delusion.
Yeah, and you would have more peace if you didn't worry so much.
If I didn't worry or care. Like, you know, everyone will come, Christmas will be fine, even though the buffet or the shelf that my mom's going to put the Christmas dishes on doesn't match the buffet hutch. Everything will be okay, what? Holly. It will all be okay.
Well, you know what I would do to save yourself some stress? I would take everything out of here, because I'm sitting in a room full of stuff.
Yeah.
I would take it all out, and I would. You have one room that's not really used.
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
And just stack everything in there. And then just take stuff out. I mean, you only have a week.
I know.
Just take out what you need to make the house look presentable for Christmas.
So you want me not to have this room set up?
Well, I don't. No, you can set it up to the way you want it set up. But I don't think you need to stress about it.
Okay, I think the whole Catholic family podcast doesn't need to hear.
Okay. Christmas. Now, Holly's off the couch.
I'm just laughing because it's so funny that what we were talking about fits perfectly into this, that I'm the problem.
You are the problem.
Me and my passions are the problem. Anyways, let's get back on track here. Oh, these poor ladies listening are like, yeah. Why are we listening to Holly's Christmas rules? Anyways, moving on. Quote, to escape from this danger, it is absolutely necessary that the mind remain free and unclouded, even amidst the prepossessions of which the imagination may be the source, and that the will have sufficient control over the latter to restrain its flights and protect it from the sway of the passions. End quote. And I feel like that paragraph was written just for
me. So you're right, exactly. The will has to be strengthened to save the mind.
Right.
You have to save your mind from the sway of the passions.
Yeah.
So you need to uncloud the mind. So this is exactly what we talked about. And you indeed are the poster child for this. You know, I mean, this is because you like to have everything perfectly decorated perfectly.
I do.
You know, so it clouds everything. And, you know, I mean, I like things to be very pretty, too, but I'm far more practical. I'm just like, well, that'll do.
Yeah, I'm not like that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But you have to make, you have to uncloud your mind.
Well, that, and that's what they're saying. You have to make the will do that, because the will over here sitting in this chair don't want to do that.
I know, but I'm going to tell you, you will make yourself crazy by Christmas.
I know.
You do not have enough time. You need like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You need like a whole nother year. Next year.
Right. Oh, I'm not hosting next year. It'll be at my sister's house. I'm just teasing. Okay, so quote, the intellect, whose province is to rule over all the other faculties of the soul, should never lay aside the scepter entrusted to it, but should at all times exercise the privilege of passing judgment upon the impressions of the imagination, and have the courage to reject those which have no solid and certain foundation. End quote.
So, again, it's the intellect must rule. It says it's supposed to have a scepter, you know? Yeah. You have to make up your mind to have a certain and solid foundation.
Yeah.
And not allow the imagination to get carried away. Like, you know, we can have a perfect Christmas even if things don't look like Hallmark in your imagination.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, at the end of the day, I know we're using this very silly example, but it is...
Well, it's actually a perfect
example. It's a perfect example because it is a problem for me.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to say, you know, I'm striving for sanctity, I'm striving for all of this, what does this matter in light of eternity? And I'm letting my imagination and my passions distract me or detract from what is really important at Christmas.
Right.
That's the whole point.
And it's not really that the napkins match the tableware.
Right, because, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to be using them to wipe gravy off their face.
Well, they're probably going to be, I'm going to tell you, they're going to be using, somebody's going to spill tomato juice all down the thing. And I want to go, oops. So there goes your perfect anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so I'm just saying, so in light of eternity, what does it matter anyways? That's kind of what, you know, you have to keep telling yourself, and I try to tell myself,
Yeah, well, you have, according to this, you have to let your intellect pass the judgment over the impressions of the imagination.
Right. Okay, quote, the heart should always have that degree of purity which will incline it to love only what is good. For the wanderings of the heart to react terribly upon the imagination and render it still more capricious and arbitrary in its states, end quote.
I don't know why I wrote this here, but something in that paragraph
struck you.
Struck me with, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Mm-hmm. Did you say something about...
Well, but it's a heart having that degree of purity.
Right, that's so that what cleanliness it was. That's and, what it was. So yeah. Blessed, so it's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. And I was thinking about this whole beauty is in the eye of the beholder versus beauty is defined by God. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Beatitudes tell us, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. So if beauty is defined by God,
yeah,
that means in order for you to see that definition of what actually is beautiful, yeah, you have to be clean of heart.
Right.
The, you know, the purity and it has to be there, mm-hmm, right? You have to remove the impurities. You have to remove the passions.
Right. Okay, quote, if we take not all these precautions, if we suffer ourselves to be constantly carried away by our imagination and to be led by the attractions of the beautiful rather than by the light of truth, we shall become the victims of prejudice, which blinds the mind of passions, which seduce the heart, and of a fictitious and disorderly enthusiasm, which wastes and enervates the soul, end quote.
Right. So, did we read something in there about victims of prejudice?
Yeah. We right. shall become the victims of prejudice, which blinds the mind.
Right. So, I mean, so when we're victims of prejudice, right, that means, I mean, again, we'll use the decorating. You know, the red has to match the green.
Yeah.
So you're always going to be prejudiced to this.
Right.
So to be prejudiced is, right, to see things. What is the definition of prejudice?
Well,
because I mean, obviously, when we say as a person is prejudiced, we use that against race. I mean, right. When I hear the word prejudice, I think of race. But you're prejudiced. You think this is better than that.
A preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience.
Right. So you're not actually basing anything on reason.
Yeah.
You're basing it on what you want.
Right.
Right, and I mean, I see people, I have examples, that happens all the time to me. People will say, oh, blah, 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 this is better. And you're like, no, it's what you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really
better. It's not better, it's just what you want.
It's just what you want.
Yeah.
Right? So an unprejudiced mind sees things actually the way God sees things. Yeah. Right? We are full of prejudice because we are full of wants and passions.
Right. Okay, quote, in a well-governed country, the frontiers are guarded with care and defended by strong citadels, which, checking the progress of the enemy, allow time for deliberating upon the means of safety. Now the frontier of the soul is our imagination. We are generally attacked on that side, and it should therefore be well fortified. End quote.
Okay, so this has given us a clue to where the devil attacks us. We're generally attacked in the imagination.
Right, right, that's how he gets to us.
That's how he gets to us, right? And that our imagination needs to be well controlled and well fortified.
Right. Quote, it is easy to recognize those women in whom the imagination has acquired a fatal ascendancy over the other faculties of the soul. They are precipitate and rash in their judgments, whimsical and fluctuating in their taste, inconstant in their affections, foolish in speech, vain and giddy in their conduct. End quote.
Yeah. So I mean,
a list there.
Yeah, it's quite a list. I feel like I need to say it again because it's 5 points. So this is when you allow your imagination to take over. It says here it's fatal to your soul. Fatal. It used the word fatal. I got fatal there, right? So it didn't say, you know, it's a little hurtful. It said fatal. So, you know, it makes you precipitate and rash in judgment.
Right.
Whimsical and fluctuating in taste. That means you're inconsistent. like a flea or something. Right. Inconsistent in your affection, in affections. You like this, you don't like that. You like, you know, you change your mind. Like,
yeah, flip flop like a fish.
You
flip
flop like a fish. You know, you're. I always think of St. John the Baptist.
Reed shaking in the wind?
What did they go out to see? A weed shaking in the wind? Like they did not. St. John the Baptist was not a weed shaking in the wind. A reed, sorry. A weed, too. He was not a weed, either.
I think weed is a new word.
And the vain and giddy in their conduct, like worried about the vanities.
Yeah. Okay. Quote, their mind is darkened by 1,000 prejudices, which render them incapable of perceiving the light which God has enkindled in the conscience of every individual to direct his actions, end quote.
So again, like to me, everything just kind of always goes back to everything. You know, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Right? The imagination, which is directed by the passion, stops the light of God. Mm-hmm. Right? So it darkens the mind.
Yeah.
Your imagination has the potential to be the darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend the light.
Okay, last little bit here that you got marked out. Quote, their heart, the sport of various passions that are contending for the mastery, has no longer strength enough to follow incentives to good. End quote.
I didn't even write anything down.
Oh, you just wanted to end there on a cliffhanger?
Yeah. What does it say again?
It says, quote, their heart, the sport of various passions that are contending for the mastery, has no longer strength, but enough to follow incentives to good. End quote.
Right. We don't have.
Well, maybe we can start there next week.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't write anything down, and I think my brain is exhausted.
Your brain is exhausted. Your imagination is running wild.
I think it ran too
wild today.
We have said I do not have an imagination. I don't.
Well,
I'm very factual, and that's. I'm just going to put that out there. That has come from control.
Yeah.
You know, that has come from fortifying myself, I guess. Because I'm going to say when I was younger, I probably had like,
right.
You know, especially when I was married, like, oh my gosh, like everything, you know, the mind would just run wild like a crazy engine of some sort. Right. And I'd come up with all sorts of nonsense. And, you know, especially when you have a husband and you're just, what are you doing that for? You know, and you're like, next thing you know, you've concocted all the these whole things. Story. Or young girls who are getting married, they have ridiculous amount of imaginations for what their married life is going to be like, you know?
Right.
They build castles in the sky.
Well, it's like you've built the citadel around your soul.
Yeah.
Fortified. That's what it said. Build the citadel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, I like that. I like that.
Defended by a strong citadels.
I've defended my soul.
Yeah,
from the wild attacks of an imagination.
So much so that you have none. I'm just joking. You have some imagination. I say there's imagination, creativity.
I'm very creative.
Yeah,
but I'm not. I do not have like. But that's just in, you know.
I think creativity is. I could be wrong when I say this, but maybe creativity is keeping your imagination in check. You know, like you have to have the imagination to be creative, but it's also that you don't, like, because you to be creative, you have to be an imaginative, is that the word?
Imaginative
person. You can't be creative without that, I don't think. Because where do those ideas come from? Your imagination.
Well, I mean, even though I'm a creative person, I've always maintained that I've never had a real thought in my life.
Oh, you just pull inspiration from elsewhere.
I pull inspiration from other things.
Right, I guess, yeah.
You know, so I've never like, you know, like I have to go, if I want to do something, and I do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I do a lot of art things. Crafty art things, but I always have to go to Pinterest and somebody, and then I say, oh, well, I can make that, but I'll make it better.
Yeah, so doesn't it make you wonder who's the person that comes up with the idea in the first place?
It's not me. I'm going to tell you. It is definitely not me. I'm making some little things for Christmas for you guys. I can't tell you what it is.
Yeah.
But it's something unique and different.
It's a primitive?
It has something. It's not really a primitive, but it's like that.
Yeah.
And I make primitive dolls.
Yeah.
And
I demand one every year.
Holly demands one.
By the way, my birthday is tomorrow.
Yes, right. It will have
my mom
been
forgot your my birthday.
It's not your birthday yet.
No, but it's
but
tomorrow.
But when this airs.
Feast of St. Lucy, if anyone's wondering. We're recording this on the Feast of, actually, that's a good idea, Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us.
Absolutely.
But this will air on Thursday, so my birthday will be over. But if anybody would like to leave their birthday wishes in the comments, I will accept them. I'm just teasing.
How about a prayer?
You know what? A prayer I would take any day of the week. It's the paint fumes of all the painting that I've been doing. The other day, I say that because the other day my sisters were here, and the one color in the bathroom was a deep red. So I had to buy a primer to go over it. So I bought this Zinsser primer. And if anybody's ever used that, it has a really strong smell to it. And my sisters were here with the baby and I was painting. And my sister all of a sudden picked up the baby and was like, "We're going to move to the other room." And I'm like, "What's the matter?" She's like, "I'm getting some very toxic paint smells." I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." Anyways, it was just a funny that we had because I'm used to it. But then part of me is like, maybe the paint fumes are getting to my head.
Maybe they've
infiltrated my mind. My imagination is running wild from all the toxic paint fumes. Anyways, I whatever. So we will, I guess we'll leave it there because we're almost at the hour. So.
Oh, that wasn't, I thought we talked forever about Christmas decorations.
We did talk a long time, but we always seem to fit it in. So, unless you have anything else you want to add before we sign off.
You know, just coming into our third final week, because we don't get a fork week.
We don't get a fork week of Evan. I'm feeling a little chipped. I don't know, like, this has had to have happened before, somewhere.
No, it does. I remember, because we talked about it. We used to have, back in the day when we were a mission church.
Yeah.
This was one of the nicest Christmas Eves we ever had was, it fell the same as this.
So four Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve were on the same
day. We used to have Mass in the evening because we were just a mission church.
Right.
So, and some of the people that came, they traveled a great distance. So they came for Mass
in the evening
Sunday, like a 4 o'clock Mass or something.
Yeah.
And then they came to our house because they didn't want to go home, and they spent to come back for midnight Mass.
Yeah.
Right. Because we ended up having midnight Mass, I guess, even though we were
if the priest was there for Sunday evening Mass, he would have just stayed for midnight Mass.
Right. So it was one of the nicest Christmases because Christmas Eve, it was really special.
Yeah,
like we just had the church people over and mm-hmm. give them a little supper, and
yeah,
everybody, some people had a nap, you know, but it was it was really nice. It was like, remember that Christmas Eve? Everybody
And what's funny is, you know, we could eat meat on Christmas Eve,
yeah,
because the Sunday trumps the Christmas Eve fast.
Right
So yes. You know, for those of us, you know, my husband's not Catholic, so he said, well, my husband has been going to church, but he said, so you're telling me we have to go to church Sunday morning and then come back in the evening? I said, technically it's not, like I said, it's Christmas Eve, so we're coming back for midnight Mass.
We're coming back
back for Christmas, like Monday is Christmas. So I'm explaining this to him, and I said, you know, but on the plus side, think of it this way. We get to eat meat. So we don't have to struggle for, because, you know, he's not Catholic, so he doesn't.
Well, everything's
since
new.
He's been coming to church, he's trying. He tries to abide by he hasn't converted, but he is coming to church. So he hasn't been baptized or anything, but he tries to follow the no meat laws if he can. It's just to his best ability there. But, I mean, he's trying. So, but he's like, oh, well, I guess that's a plus. I'm like, oh, sometimes these rules, I think some of them he's just like, oh my word, I don't.
Well, I mean, but you got to think about it. These are people that have never lived by rule, rule in their life.
Right. So everything is just so like.
And what? I always said, I always maintain the rules are no big deal. It's having to tell people every but time, well, okay, we're not doing this. Okay, we're doing this. Okay, we're not doing this. And they're just like, what is wrong with you, people? You know, like all you do is, and it doesn't seem like
that to us. Yeah.
But they just think it's just craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when you're telling people, well, okay, you don't do this. And you're just like, another rule. Okay, another thing. Another not eating thing.
So, but. We make it through and we get to have a nice Christmas Eve where we eat meat.
Yeah.
And we got to eat meat on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception this year.
Right.
So we had a double whammy this year.
I know, but the day before was a fast day.
I know, but normally an abstinent fast. But I mean, that was a Friday where we got to eat meat, right?
I know.
So but,
I mean, if it don't get you one way, they get you the other.
I know. I'm not actually on like
Thursday.
But anyway, so.
See, it's all just, and it's confusing to people, too.
No, I know. It's okay, very hard.
So we can eat meat, but now we can't eat meat on this day, and we can't eat meat on this day. And it just takes, I mean.
Well, I have the little calendar, and I tried to tell my husband, just look at the calendar with the fish, you know, and the half fish, and he's like, I don't get these fishes. You got half fishes here, you got whole fish here. This one has an F. I said, okay, let's forget the calendar and I'll just tell you. So anyways, but, well, we'll leave it there.
And baby steps.
Baby steps, that's right. So, that's great. So we hope that you all have, well, actually, maybe we should decide now before we sign off, because next week we'll probably have a podcast.
Right.
But I don't think we're going to have a podcast probably the week.
In between.
So you may, if we can squeeze it in, we will. But if we can't, and we might just
chances
say.
Chances are we won't.
Chances are we won't. Just we'll
It'll
let it
be once the festivities start. They really start.
Us Catholics, we like to live up Christmas at the proper time, you know? So anyways, we hope that you all have a very blessed week, and may our Lord bless you and our Lady guide you always, and Saint Teresa, pray for us.